Forecast for today, a continuing chance for showers and maybe thunderstorms, and we'll have a high in the low 70s. The Racine County Sheriff's Department still working on the identification of a body found in Lake Michigan by Myers Park Sunday afternoon. A news release indicating that just after 2 p.m., a citizen reported what appeared to be a body in the lake south of the park area at 11th and Pershing Drive. A deceased white male, about 250 pounds, 6'1 in height, with brown hair was found. The man also showing multiple arm tattoos. Anybody with information that could help the investigation is urged to contact the Racine County Sheriff's Department or anonymously contact Crime Stoppers of Racine County. A reported silo fire in far northwest Racine County late Sunday afternoon had local first responders busy for several hours, in fact, into last night. That call at 27305 Kramer Road was in the Waterford area. According to online information, that's the Saltzman Dairy Farm. Mutual aid coming from as far east as Caledonia, along with such agencies as Lyons and Walworth County. No other details, however, are available at this point. Wisconsin's only recently recorded its first two cases of the West Nile virus in humans for the year, that after having documented animal and insect cases in both Racine and Kenosha counties. Rebecca Osborne is an epidemiologist with the State Department of Health Services, says this late in the year, really not a surprise.
We start to see cases in mid to late summer, and about 80% of all of our West Nile virus cases do occur in August and September.
She reminds the public that West Nile is carried by mosquitoes, so it is best to be wearing repellents and clothing designed to keep them from biting you. The brainstorming process is already underway in the greater Racine area to either create additional landfill space at the Kestrel Hawk site or a plan B for the disposal of waste materials because current remaining capacity is said to be less than 10 years. Racine County Board Supervisor Melissa Caprelli and Becker offering up a chance to get a close and personal look at Racine's landfill the afternoon of September the 6th.
I organize tours for public services for my constituents, but I also open it to all of the county. September 6th at 1 o'clock, we'll be at the Kestrel Hawk landfill, and I do hope you come because that's something that's going to be affecting not only the county but all the municipalities within it in a few years to come, and we probably should be talking about it now.
And then September the 12th, she told her county board colleagues she'll focus attention on where the trash goes and how it gets to that location.
And September 12th is another tour, and that is the street and solid waste division with the superintendent, and that'll be at 1 o'clock at the maintenance garage in the city of Racine.
Racine City Administrator Jim Palanick recently explained that a coordinated effort of most likely seeking additional space at that site is going to be taking place, plus producing less material for placement into the landfill would actually help to free up more space and even expand the time frame. Gateway Technical College and other schools in the region are well aware of the potential training needs for workers with the Foxconn project. But the broader concern right now is about workers and the skills needed for what Gateway President Brian Albrecht and the other school leaders call Industry 4.0. Now, the hallmark development of Industry 3.0 was the introduction of computerized equipment on the factory floor. Albrecht telling our partners at Gateway Public Radio that to keep ahead of the curve, as industry needs continue to evolve, the school is striking new partnerships.
What companies like Haribo and Foxconn are bringing to us under this Industry 4.0 platform are different types of technologies. So this is liquid crystal. That means it's glass with electronics with glass, and the electronics actually change the molecular structure of the glass to make it more high definition. We don't have that skill set yet, so our teachers, our faculty, are going through professional development with a company called Festo, who build automation machines. We partnered with Festo to offer a certification program.
He says Gateway's teaching staff, meanwhile, enthusiastically embracing all the changes ahead. As the new school year is about to unfold in just over a week, Racine Unified is continuing to get ready. The Board of Education recently approving the adoption of the Quaver Marvelous World of Music curriculum and the purchase of related resources.
Quaver will be added for all elementary programs in the district as well as all middle school programs, including Real and Walden, which are 6-12 programs. It will be used in all elementary and middle school general music classrooms.
Dr. Chris Thompson explaining that while this is geared at all the elementary and the middle school general music classrooms, it can also offer music instruction at the high school level.
General music is required for students through grade 5. Grade 6 students must either take general music or an instrumental or choral music class. We generally do not teach general music in grade 6 and 7, but if there is an interest, we would be able to use this to do so.
It's a 3-year purchase, a total cost of just under $112,000. A car backing out of a driveway in the 900 block of South Green Bay Road in Mount Pleasant got in the way of a northbound motorcycle, causing the operator to be ejected by the impact, which occurred in a construction area. Lots of glass debris on the severely damaged motorcycle found by first arriving police officers near the median at that location. Nearby that was 25-year-old operator Brian Warren of Racine. He was transported to the All Saints Emergency Room by South Shore paramedics. He suffered non-life-threatening injuries, according to a release, but he was later taken up to Frederick Hospital. A 29-year-old female passenger in the car, driven by 37-year-old Racine resident Luis Murillo, was also taken to the All Saints, but with minor injuries, Murillo not hurt. He was cited, though, for unsafe backing onto the highway and operating a vehicle under the influence, causing injury. The Wisconsin Red Cross has dispatched now more than 24 emergency response volunteers down to Texas to help in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. One of them, 78-year-old Tom Poe from Burlington, who just finished recently helping with flood response efforts in Burlington and in Kenosha County. He had his backpack of supplies and personal needs. He took a plane down from Mitchell Airport to Texas and to do whatever task he was going to be assigned.
You don't know exactly what you're walking into sometimes, and you got to keep an open mind.
Last year, Poe drove an emergency response vehicle down to Florida to help in the recovery from Hurricane Matthew. For him, he says it is simply about helping people in need. U.S. Small Business Administration representatives still available through the August 31st timeframe to help with loan applications for folks and business owners affected by the recent flooding in Racine and Kenosha counties. The Disaster Outreach Center in the Kenosha County building on 75th Street in Bristol, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., but on Thursday it closes at 3 p.m. The deadline to submit SBA loan applications for property damage will be October the 17th. There are more than 6,000 people in Wisconsin based on the latest Census Bureau estimates listed as homeless. At least 500 of them are veterans, which is disturbing, according to Dan Stein, executive director of Second Harvest Food Bank of Southern Wisconsin. Says you don't always have the true impact of a real story, like one of their mobile food pantry events in Sparta, where a volunteer learned recently. There was this guy standing in line wearing a faded military uniform. He explained to their volunteer there were 11 in his household.
She said, "How many are under 18? And he said, "None." And she was quite surprised. So she said, 11 adults, and he explained that he and the others with him were homeless vets and were living at the home of a retired military man who, finding out their plight, opened his house to them.
Stein says the fight against hunger is constant in Wisconsin and nationwide, and whatever the public can do to help, whether it's donating food or money or volunteering at a food pantry or lending a voice to the cause, they'll appreciate it.
One of the problems is so many people have no idea of the size and scope of the problem of hunger in Wisconsin or in the United States, and the more people are aware, great things can happen. Changes can take place.
Stein noting that one of the hardest things to understand is that most people served by Second Harvest Food Bank live in the household where somebody is working at least 30 hours a week, and several of them are veterans, in addition to those who are classified as homeless. Southeast Wisconsin parents who have kids either at or heading off to college going to be urged to check your insurance policies for such things as loss of personal property without adequate coverage, liability, even identity theft.
A homeowner's policy will likely cover a student living in a dorm, but AAA suggests off-campus renter's insurance, noting that dorm rooms can be a treasure trove for thieves because of laptops, tablets, smartphones, and gaming systems. If a student is attending school 100 miles or more away from home without a vehicle, his or her family may be able to list them as an occasional driver with the insurance company and save money. With a vehicle opens the door to greater liability. And don't forget about identity fraud, for which people are victimized every 2 seconds in this country. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
And a good friend of Preservation Racine, Gerald Karwowski, is an author, a local historian. He's going to be sharing his love of Racine history along with his collectible treasures during a program in open house tonight, starting at 6 o'clock at his Oak Clearing Farm, which is on South Colony Avenue in Yorkville. His collection of thousands of artifacts catching the attention of the History Channel's popular series, American Pickers. You'll learn about that experience as well as have a chance to go look around the place. Preservation Racine will post something on their Facebook page if the weather impacts the event. Reconstructing 6th Avenue in downtown Kenosha moved into a new phase today with the street closure from traffic at 55th Street to Library Park. During this phase of the construction, continuing through the 1st of September, the sidewalks will stay open for access to businesses. September 2nd, it's the Kenosha Classic Cruising Car Show that is scheduled, and hundreds of classic vehicles are going to be on display. The 6th Avenue project should be near final completion about that time, and it will be open for the event. Finishing work on the street, that'll continue after Labor Day. It's expected to be totally done by the end of September. Waterford Village Board meeting tonight. Among the agenda items, proposed ordinance amendment to allow backyard chickens at single and two-family homes. With the proposal comes a list of qualifications, though, including no roosters, up to four hens, a yearly permit, chickens only for laying eggs, a permit to build an appropriate coop that'll require an inspection, a manure management plan. Neighbors would have to be notified, and if anybody objects, then a public hearing could be held. The agenda has this item tonight listed under unfinished business, an ordinance first to allow and regulate chickens, then a follow-up resolution to establish a fee for chickens, along with cell towers. Later in the meeting, it's a closed session to review compensation and hiring for the treasurer position. Nearly two-thirds of Wisconsinites, about 29%, live in one of the state's many rural areas, but only 13% of the physicians in Wisconsin have practices in those areas. Dr. Byron Krause is director of the Wisconsin Academy for Rural Medicine, or WARM program. Says a lot of doctors who practice in Wisconsin's urban areas are actually from small communities, but they often lose those rural roots because in their first 4 years at college or university, they're in a larger community.
And then they spend 3 to 5 or even 7 years in residency, which also tend to be in big cities. And also you realize they have now spent more of their lifetime in the big city than where they were growing up, and they lose some of that connectedness with their rural interests and activities.
Says about a third of the doctors who graduate the WARM program do come back to their hometowns to practice, so the program is having an impact, but he says they'd obviously like more.
We're seeing almost a record number of applications this year, and we've seen pretty much a relatively steady growth in the number of people interested as the word is getting out and more people are hearing about this program.
The program will admit 26 medical students this year, 24 from Wisconsin, 2 from Illinois. To date, more than 120 students have graduated from the program and are going on to practice medicine in a rural setting. Labor Day events scheduled in both Racine and Kenosha counties a week from today. Kenosha's Labor Person of the Year is going to be Police Detective Peter Dietz, who's a 15-year veteran of the force. He's also president of the Kenosha Professional Police Association, which is a title he's had for the past 5 years. That honor is going to be doled out at Kenosha's Labor Fest, again a week from today, on the grounds of St. Therese School and Church at 90th Street and 22nd Avenue. Meanwhile, Racine's Labor Fest 2017 going to take place from noon to 4:30 p.m. at Caledonia Mount Pleasant Memorial Park, which is at Highways K and H in Franksville, along with the annual car and motorcycle show. A non-perishable food donation will go to the Racine County Food Bank, which is also good for one free food plate ticket and a couple of free beverage tickets. Awards will be given for Mr. and Mrs. Solidarity, Retired Labor Person of the Year, and the Labor Person of the Year. And with Women's Equality Day coming up, with the U.S. ranking 45th out of 144 countries on the Global Gender Gap Index, which is down 17 spots, by the way, from last year, the personal finance website WalletHub did a little in-depth analysis on the best and worst states for women's equality, and Wisconsin makes the top 10. WalletHub's analysts compared the 50 states across 15 key metrics, including the gap between female and male executives, to the disparity in unemployment rates for women and men. The best states for women's equality starts out with Hawaii, number one, then Nevada, second, Illinois, third, Minnesota, fourth, Washington, fifth. Wisconsin shows up at number nine. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.